You can put any four musicians in a room that can play, and they'll play a song. You put the right four musicians in the room, or you put the right group of people in the room. Well, that's when you get the Rolling Stones, you get the Beatles, you get Kiss, you get the iconic bands, when you put the right four people in the room or the right group of people in the room.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm very thrilled to introduce our guest for the day, Neil Bertrand. Neil, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Suja.
Yes, it's really a pleasure. And you know, you have a wealth of experience and knowledge in our space of real estate investing and syndications, et cetera. And just excited to have you on. So everyone, Neil is a 25-year multifamily veteran, and he's held positions with four of the NMHC top 50 firms. So he's basically worked at some of the largest firms that own multifamily properties in the country. And now he is working with RGX Investment, and really excited to hear all about that. His background includes all different asset classes, and he's got a bachelor's in real estate from Liberty University. And let's get into it. So Neil, tell me a little bit about, you know, let's just go back in time a bit and tell me a bit about your background and why you got into real estate in the first place.
Okay. That's an interesting story. Most people would never guess it by looking at me, but 28 years ago, I had hair down to my waist and played played bass in a heavy metal band.
I love it.
All types of music, but met a really, really great woman. And, you know, you can't really sustain a marriage while you're on tour. So I said, okay, I'll stay in the Dallas area. I'll try to get studio work and, you know, do gigs. But the only offers that came in were going on tour and we need a bass player. Mm-hmm. So my wife was already in the business. She was in property management at the time with Trammell Crow, of all people. And she's just kept pushing me in this direction. And I make the joke that, you know, she got me in the business and I forgave her and was still married 28 years later. But it was something that I gravitated toward the numbers side of things very quickly. I started as an assistant manager. I was with Lincoln Property Company within 18 months. I was a regional manager with another company. And it was the one.
I just have to ask you a question. How about music? Like, is that still a part of your, I mean, obviously you have this career in real estate, which we're going to talk about, but like, how do you still play music and how was that transition?
Well, you know, if you ever see an RGX video and there's background music, you know where it came from.
Okay.
I still love playing music. It's nice to have a creative side and also have that analytical side. And it's also a great, great kind of stress relief, great way to wind down.
Yeah.
And a lot of fun. So
yeah, for sure. Totally. We'll do it. I think you're right. It does provide a really good balance. I now roller skate and it's like, you know, that's dance and music and learning a new skill. And I find that if I just roller skated, I don't know if I would have as much fun, but now it's like this amazing complement or balance to like the other heady world that I'm in of real estate. And so I think I enjoy it, at least personally, you know, a lot more, even though I don't necessarily do it all the time. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we all need something that helps us to kind of decompress and recenter, right? And so there's nothing like picking up a bass or sitting at a piano and just getting rid of the day.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So, and the reason that you kind of got into property management was basically to have another form of income, right? That didn't involve being in the music industry.
Right. You know, the old steady paycheck kind of thing. But it was, you know, I noticed very quick that the person you really had to impress wasn't your regional manager. It wasn't, you know, the regional manager's boss. It was the client and the asset manager. And while they appreciate the fact that the lawn is mowed and the grass is green and the patios are clean, what they really want is a check. And if you can make them money, then you're a superstar, right? I've always said in property management, you're only as good as your last financial statement.
Yeah.
And so I made knowing my numbers my priority, right? Memorizing my NOI every month, knowing what it took to hit that goal. And those are the kind of the things that moved me along in my career.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I mean, I think that is such a good point. And, you know, while the making sure the property is clean and nice and neat and beautiful or acceptable, you know, somewhere in there is important, you know, investors really need to manage their bottom line. And if the property manager gets that, you know, and can deliver, and it sounds like you really embraced that, then, you know, you'll be a great partner. So, okay. So you started out working for large firms, and how big were the properties that you were managing at the time?
When I was directly on site, I think the smallest property I'd ever personally managed was about 300 or so units. When I was a regional, I had portfolios as large as 3,000 units. And then in various roles have handled assets in multiple states simultaneously, did new development, student housing, new development in three different states at once. So it's just kind of been all across the board. I mean, I make the joke, and it's not really, it's not a joke, that I have been involved on properties where you pull up in the morning and you're not wearing this jacket, you're wearing a Kevlar jacket, and because they're in very rough neighborhoods. And I've been on properties that are so nice that we had a separate room for our pet therapist, literally in Frisco, Texas. Mm-hmm. So I've been very, very fortunate to have been exposed to everything, A, B, C, D properties, receiverships, you know, foreclosed deals, taking them back for the bank, tax credit, student housing, senior housing, HUD finance, bond finance. I just grabbed every opportunity I could. If I didn't know something, then and the opportunity came along to learn it, I jumped on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. And so let's talk about this. How did you decide to make the switch to leaving kind of the employment world and running your own firm?
You know, it's interesting. I worked for a company and we managed assets for a guy that has, you know, one of these mentor programs. And they were doing the, you know, the bus tour that all these guys do, bringing in, you know, investors. And I remember this as clear as day. It was in 2016. It was a Saturday morning. And of course, this property is in my portfolio. So I go out and I want to make sure everything's good and the client's taken care of. And I'm talking to this Chinese investor. And I remember her as clear as day because she's just drilling down on my background and, you know, oh, you manage properties for AIG and, you know, you've done this, you've done that. And this mentor, this, you know, guru guy's out there with his little speaker and microphone, kind of walking everyone through what's been done on the property. And she just looks at me and she says, why aren't you a deal sponsor? You know more than him. And it was kind of a aha moment, right? Mm-hmm. Where she was about 90% correct. And I said, you know what? Yeah, I know how to run these things. I know how to run them well. But what am I missing to do it myself? Mm-hmm. And obviously it was the capital. You know, if I'd already had $15 million in the bank, I would have already bought something, right? So there was the capital side, and then just really drilling down onto the underwriting and, you know, what makes a deal work. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what you want to call it, if you want to call it fate, karma, God, but literally 2 weeks later, I'm on LinkedIn and I get a message from a man who became a great mentor. And it's a short message. We're looking for a new VP of acquisitions in Texas. Are you interested? And my response was, well, if you've seen my LinkedIn profile, you know that all I've done is operations. And his response back was, that's what makes you perfect. I need somebody who actually knows how to run these things to tell me if they're worth buying or not. Let's talk. Mm-hmm. The funny thing was, is my wife and I, she walked by and she goes, hey, I know him. He actually had toured her property when it was for sale. He's a great guy, nice guy. So met him, did a few, you know, had a few conversations with him and the CFO at the time. And, you know, I called it my crash course PhD level in underwriting from, I mean, this guy had sent underwriting models to Allied Bernstein, you know, and Garrison and all the big boys. Mm-hmm. And I got to learn at his feet, and that's just an opportunity I couldn't pass up. And so it was kind of like, okay, you know, this happened so quick. And I was with Chris for a few years, joined mentor program myself, because obviously I needed the connections, not to sound arrogant or cocky, but as I've been doing this a long time, really, there's nothing that on the operation side that any of these mentors or anyone could teach me. I needed access to capital and the right people. Met some great people in the groups, did a deal with a couple of guys I met. But the issue was, and it's not an issue, right? It's all perspective where you come from, right? To them, when you come in to this industry from the outside, you're like, oh man, 100 units, that's huge. And if you've been in it as long as I have, and you know, and you've seen 1,000 unit properties, it's like, yeah, 100 units is nothing.
Yeah.
And Class C is, yeah, no, it's not a tough deal to take down. My vision was always larger than everyone I was with. So during all of this time, I've been invited to participate in a group called Texas Multifamily Executive Forum, which is a group of owners, investors, a couple of private equity guys in there. We meet every other Friday, and the group serves a lot of purposes. Mm-hmm. There's we tell each other our goals. We challenge each other to meet those goals. We walk through what are we struggling with. You know, sometimes it's just griping about how everything's overpriced and you can't find anything. But it's a great group of guys, which is where I met Robbie Cotta. And Robbie is based in Austin. So Robbie and I kind of noticed through these biweekly meetings that we had a lot of the same ideology, a lot of the same mindset that we, you know, neither one of us want to retire. We want to build something big, right? We're not the kind of guys who just want to sit around and wait on mailbox money and do whatever. Like, we both want to keep advancing until we can't move anymore and then have our children take over.
Yeah.
It's been a good 3 or 4 months talking about working together and what that would look like and whose name do we use and whatever the case may be. And it's really interesting that, you know, again, I'll go back to when you find the right people, the magic happens. So February 2nd of last year, Robbie and I made everything official. And within 45 days, we had $1.4 billion of new development going under contract.
Wow.
So yeah, it was like I said, you know, someone who thought on a grand scale, mm-hmm. and was not afraid to do what it took to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was kind of the changeover for me. I mean, obviously as an executive and a W-2 employee in property management, I was making a great salary, the 401k, all that good stuff. But at the end of the day, it wasn't mine. I was making other people very wealthy, and it was time for me to, you know, it was time for me to build that wealth for myself.
Yeah. You know, your story is just so inspiring to me, Neil, because I also come from the institutional world. And I know when I was there, at least, then I didn't have entrepreneurial mentors, kind of like you needed someone outside, this woman, to tell you, what are you doing? Why aren't you a deal sponsor? It's like, I didn't have anybody to tell me that, working as an underwriter for these like large institutions. But then you have a different mindset, right? So, because then you go to the private equity space and like people are coming from a different place. They're coming from maybe, you know, up from the single family world, and like, you know, 50 units seems like a lot, 100 units seems like a lot. And you're ready to play at kind of a different level in a sense, but then there's all these different like mindset things that need to come and different pieces that need to come together. But then you hit the ground running and you're able to do $1.4 billion of development, I think. Is that what you said?
That's correct.
$1.4 billion of development.
Yes.
Three, oh my gosh.
Three separate projects. You know, I think the big one is a 78 acre master planned community, 3 apartment communities with 1600 units, 1 million square foot of office, retail space, luxury hotel, 250 rooms, 20,000 square foot conference center. And all of that will surround the only publicly accessible 4-acre Crystal Lagoon in Central Texas. So
4-acre Crystal Lagoon?
Yes.
What is that?
Leander, a lagoon. Basically, there's one company that builds these. They're from Chile. And if you're in Oregon, so I don't know if there's anything out there, but I think there's about 18 to 20 of these projects that they've done in the US, but it literally is a man-made lagoon.
Okay.
And they've got the technology that keeps the water blue, and it's, you know, you've got sand. It's an amazing, amazing feat.
Wow.
It's, It's actually very prominent in some of the higher end single family communities, right?
Yeah.
Like here in McKinney, there's a neighborhood with one. The city of Rowlett is doing a big center redevelopment with the lagoon going in. So,
okay. So this lagoon thing, I'm definitely going to have to look into it because that's kind of interesting, right? Obviously. I mean, that's very fascinating. So did the lagoon come first or did your master plan community come first?
It's part of the master plan community.
Okay. And is that in the Dallas area or where is it?
No, that's north of Austin. That's in a city called Leander.
Okay.
Which again, the reason that we were very bold about this project is the city of Leander itself, the population has grown 706% since the year 2000.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
The income citywide, you know, usually you drill down to like 1, 3, and 5 mile. Citywide, the median income is over 6 digits. And then when you drill in closer to where the project is, obviously it's, you know, substantial. It was the right time to do the project. The city is, you know, on board with it.
Yeah.
Because they see the potential, right? It's a live work play area.
Yeah.
So as tech companies continue to migrate, Leander says, hey, look, we've got your office space, we've got your play space, and we've got your workspace. You don't even have to leave.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Okay, I have a question about this lagoon thing because it's brand new to me. So is it a place to recreate? Is it a bio, like, does it attract wildlife? Tell me about the lagoons.
It's pretty much a recreation, wakeboarding, swimming, just a hangout area. And of course, being in Texas where we have summer 11 months out of the year, it'll get a lot of use.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's very fascinating. So it's kind of like, they call it a lagoon. Why don't they call it a lake? Just curious.
Well, because it's built to model like a Caribbean style lagoon.
Okay.
So it's crystal sand. I mean, you have the actual crystal sand that's imported in. Mm-hmm. And then again, they have all of the technology to keep the water nice, clear, blue, just like if you were in Aruba or, you know, think of any tropical destination. That's kind of the vibe that they're going for.
Yeah. Well, that is so cool. Okay. So, and where is that project in its development right now?
So we have to build it out in phases. And phase one is, of course, the utility install for the entire project. It's the first 400 unit apartment community and the lagoon itself. We're hoping to break ground Q1, but we're still kind of going through the design phase. Everything's permitted for phase one, but it's the design phase. Mm-hmm. The architectural renderings, making sure that what we're going to build is exactly what the city wants, because they are involved in the project. I mean, they're giving us some great tax incentives. They want this to happen because of how it will benefit them. Mm-hmm. And of course, like any city, they want to make sure that it's aesthetically pleasing and not an eyesore. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
just kind of going through, if you've ever done new development, you know, you just got to go through the red tape and the bureaucracy and working with the people. Thankfully, though, Leander's got a great city council, great mayor, and they're being very easy to work with.
Yeah. Okay. So I am curious as to how this became like one of your first projects, like as a private, you know, not working for the big firms.
So Robbie he's a go-getter, right? And we're looking at deals, we're underwriting deals, and we're like, okay, we got, you know, let's look at some off market, let's consider new development, because we're watching pricing just go through the roof. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're building these three different projects for, you know, brand new Class A for less than what we would purchase a 2017 asset for in a relatively comparable neighborhood. So it just made sense. Mm-hmm. Both of us were networking. Ravi met this gentleman who was involved in another. He actually had the land in Cedar Park, which is a neighboring city to Leander. This particular project was part of their redevelopment district, and you know, he didn't want to do the project, but it was part of the city. So basically, we bought the land from him off market, had him kind of stay on to walk us through a lot of the where he was with the city. But he was also involved in this Leander Springs project and approached us about taking the project over, which we did. And, you know, like I said before, when you have the right people and the right mindset, and it's all there, then the right opportunities come. So, okay. You know, we weren't worried about chasing down a 100 unit Class C deal built in the 70s. I mean, we were thinking big picture, and that's what we were pursuing. So it was just all, again, call it what you want, fate, fortune, the gods, call it whatever you want.
Sure.
Everything fell into place.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's really interesting. And it's just an interesting perspective because, you know, in this world, we talk to a lot of value add investors who are buying some of those older assets, which do need, you know, renovating, but just to be doing, we also need more housing. Right. And so, So why, just so the listeners can have an idea, why would somebody want to give that project over? Like, why would they want to let it go?
You know, without going into too much detail, everything that we do depends on having the right partners. I did a project with a couple of guys. I love them to death. They're in Houston. They come to Dallas. We get together for coffee. If I go to Houston, we'll meet. We're friends. But ideologically, we didn't line up to continue to do deals together, right? Nothing wrong with either one of us. We did not gel as the right team, okay?
Okay.
So when you find yourself in a situation with people that you don't necessarily you like, but you don't gel with for whatever reason, you know, sometimes it's best to walk away and pursue other options.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's how that came to be. And you know, I know the people that were involved in this project before us, they have stellar reputations, they've accomplished a great deal. There's no bad blood between anybody. And they all very experienced and knew what they were doing. But again, you know, you get the right people together and it's like you can put any four musicians in a room that can play and they'll play a song. Mm-hmm. You put the right four musicians in the room or you put the right group of people in the room. Well, that's when you get the Rolling Stones, you get the Beatles, you get Kiss, you get the iconic bands when you put the right four people in the room or the right group of people in the room.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that is so cool. And, you know, I think one thing that people talk about is affordability, right? And so these are Class A housing. What kind of demographic will they be serving? And is it like townhomes? Are they like, is it multifamily?
So one of the projects is a build-to-rent duplex community that's in Lago Vista. That's particularly geared toward knowledge workers. Lago Vista is probably a good 30, 45 minutes outside of Austin. So we're building these duplex style, two-car garages, private office in addition to the bedrooms, specifically to cater to the work from home, IT crowd, entrepreneurs, again, knowledge workers. Mm-hmm. The other two projects are both more live, work, play. So those projects are geared toward people who, when they get home, like they don't want to get back in their car to go and do anything. They just want to walk, you know, take the elevator down to the first floor and walk outside and make another left and they're in the coffee shop or the tap house, right? So it's really aimed toward kind of the higher demographic, six-figure income, obviously being Austin, a lot of the IT crowd, engineers, and those type of people. We also do, like our current portfolio is very much blue collar. And we will continue to do those type of deals because we're opportunistic investors. We're not set on one particular asset class, but we are very keen on location. And right now, affordability is a big thing. And I'm quite honestly surprised you mentioned tax credit and affordable housing earlier. I'm just really surprised not to see more development in that space, given the affordability issue that we're having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so when you say your current projects are blue collar, like current projects that you purchased or that you're building?
They're legacy assets.
Yeah.
The current five deals that we have. So they were all heavy value add deals in workforce housing cities, And they've been great assets. You know, they will have served their purpose. Their time frame's coming up. It gave us an opportunity to kind of refine, because we're vertically integrated, we manage in-house, an opportunity to refine a lot of our systems, the things that we wanted to put in place. So, you know, they've been great assets for us.
Okay, cool. So just to help the listeners and understand, and myself, like when you talk about building a master plan community that's 30 to 40 minutes outside of Austin, when people are wanting to be in a metro but then live kind of farther away from it, is it because they're wanting space or you just can't find something as high quality in Austin? Is it an affordability reason that they would go out there? I'm just curious. I'm sure you're in touch with like the you know, avatars that would this place would appeal to.
Yeah. So some of it is affordability. I mean, I think if you look at any major metro area, and I'll take Dallas, for example, the same house you can buy in a very nice neighborhood in Dallas, if you pick that house up and you drove 45 minutes north and dropped it in, say, at Denton or even where I am in Carrollton, you're going to shave $50,000-$60,000 off the value of the house. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the closer you are into where the CBD is and the arena, the sports arenas and all those things are, you get, you know, higher price. And a lot of people just, they want to be away. You know, they want to be kind of away from the hustle, the bustle and those type of things. And again, when you have like in the Austin area, Dallas area, with the infrastructure expanding, it's no longer a 30 or 45 minute commute. You got the HOV lanes now. So, you know, it cuts down on your time. But for a lot of people, it's a lot, you know, renters this level are renters by choice, because they don't want the yard work, they don't want the maintenance, they don't want the hassle. And part of that choice is they get to choose exactly where they want to live. Mm-hmm. And there's a myriad of reasons, right? If they work in downtown Austin, they may not like downtown areas, right? They may want to be further away from it. Mm-hmm. If you look at like Dallas, downtown Dallas, closer to Dallas, Austin, there's no land. You can't build anything. So everything's already that's existing has been there minimum, what, 8-10 years? Probably the last time any substantial new development happened. So they're getting a newer product as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very cool. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing so much about, you know, what you're working on and your transition from working at some of the big companies to doing what you're currently doing. I'd love to hear just what you're looking to do kind of moving forward. Is this multi-phase project going to take most of your attention for a while? Like, where do you see your portfolio going? Of course, I'm sure that's a moving target.
You know, we have one of the first things Robbie and I did was sit down and talk goals. And we knew that within 5 years, we wanted to be 5,000 plus units. Mm-hmm. Within 10 years, we wanted to be an NMHC top 50 firm, which means that we have to have, I think right now, the smallest company on that top 50 list is about 22,000 units. Mm-hmm. So our growth strategy is not only building, like we're building 2,187 units. On top of that, we plan to acquire another 2,000 units. Mm-hmm. On top of that, we are looking for small management companies to buy. Mm-hmm. And scale up. And when I say small, you know, these smaller management companies that may have anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 units as part of the strategy to scale up. Mm-hmm. So we're working many, many different angles towards our ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. One of the goals with, we don't want to be a fee management company. We want to find the right people that we can partner with in the future, because for us, it's about long-term relationships. It's about win-win. And it's about helping as many other people, you know, helping as many other people as we can to kind of realize their potential and realize their goals as well. We have opened ourselves up to co-GP opportunities with the right people. So let's say you have a syndicator group, or you have a couple of guys that have come out of that syndication world and they're ready to scale up and grow bigger. Having a group like ours to say that you partnered with is a great plus. And then kind of getting to lean on the experience that Robbie and I have doing these type of deals is also a big plus. So it's not just about building this huge, massive NMHC top 50 company. It's also about trying to help as many other people as we can along the way. You know, we have a nonprofit foundation. We have profit sharing for our in-house team. You know, the more you do for other people, the more that comes back to you.
Yeah, very cool. Well, that's so awesome. Congratulations, Neil. Just amazing story. Really, really, really loved hearing all about everything that you're working on. Just idea explosion. So thank you so much for coming on the show. I'd love if you could now take a moment to share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and what you're doing and anything else you want to share.
Great. So to learn more about RGX, you can just visit rgxinvest.com to learn about, that's our parent company. So you can also learn about our acquisitions, our property management, our nonprofit foundation. Of course, Robbie having a tech background, we have a tech venture as well. Some very interesting things going on there.
Wow.
Yeah. You can also email me directly at Neil, N-E-I-L, at reitgroupx.com. And then if you want to see the renderings of the master plan community, I invite you to visit www.leanderSprings.com.
That is so cool. Well, I definitely, you have so much to check out, Neil. I mean, there's so much stuff we didn't even touch on. So we'll have to have you back to hear all about what else you're doing, because there's clearly a lot more. So anyways, thank you so much. It was really a pleasure talking to you and can't wait to do it again. So I'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.